I want to start off this morning kind of with a surprise for you. Some of you saw the towel up here. You thought I'm going to become like one of the TV preachers. They told me before, right? I'm going to start wiping off the... Some of you like that joke. Some of you not so much. But I have a surprise for you, all right? This is by popular demand, because last month during January, we did the Begin series, and I told you about a little car that I bought for my son at Liam. How it was this RC car that climbs the walls, right? It was this awesome thing, and he won't let us turn it on. And so I likened it to our Christian walk, how we have the shape of godliness, a form of godliness, but deny the power. Now, some of you could be climbing the wall. Some of you have the power, but you deny it, all right, inside of you. And so by maybe 15 to 20 of you kind of tuned me out theologically. You didn't hear anything else that I said, but you just wanted to know proof that this car exists, all right? And so I was like, without further ado, I give you the limited edition RC Air Hog anti-gravity Flynn McMissile car, all right? So it does exist. It's a lot smaller than you thought it was, right? That's what we thought when we opened the package from Amazon. That's what we were expecting, something maybe a little bit bigger. But imagine this thing climbing the walls in your house, right? Like a roach with an engine going up, climbing... I had to sneak this out of my house this morning, all right? So if you happen to see an irate little blonde three-year-old making his way to the stage at any point during the sermon, just let me know. Give me a heads up, right? Just give me a few. You'll know why. But here it is. We'll have viewings after the service, all right? So if you want to inspect it for yourself. You want to buy one of your own, I'll send you the link. Don't worry. I got so I don't... Right. So, yeah, next week we'll have it climbing the wall, all right? So next week I'll have it on that wall over there. I couldn't sneak out the remote, too. He's sleeping with that, right? People don't understand what I had to get through to show you that. So you're lucky before it all. All right, but let me kind of lay out the message this morning, all right? Let me give you what I'm trying to achieve, where we're going, and then we'll get into it. Just so you know, one of the hardest things when preaching, one of the most difficult things is preaching through a holiday or seasonal messages. And you realize this, we go through the year and we have the same holidays and the same seasons. That's how a calendar works, right? And so you have Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and Mother's Day and Father's Day. And the danger, I guess, the kind of rut we get into, though, is that you come to expect sermon series or sermons based around those things. And so the hard part of that, though, is that as you come to expect those, though, there's different things that can and can't happen. Like, we're not handing out roses on Father's Day, right? We're not preaching the Ten Commandments on Christmas Eve. There are different things that you come to expect. And the problem, if you've been around long enough, is that whenever the season or the series comes up that maybe you have been through before or heard before, you start to tune it out a little bit. And not maliciously, not in any purposeful way, but it's kind of like, well, I've heard that before, I've heard that topic before, and so you kind of push it away. You kind of hope, well, maybe there's a funnier story this time around, or maybe there's a funny joke that can kind of make it bearable. Okay, so that's a challenge, though, when I preach, because I spend too much time trying to get us back to ground zero, get us back to the ground level, and then continue on, or coming up with something new to say. But we're in February, all right? And so if January was the Begin series, beginning to pray, beginning to worship, beginning to read, beginning to share your testimony, then February is about relationships. It's what we normally, February, associate with it. And you know, we just passed Valentine's Day on Wednesday. If that's news to you, then you know why your spouse hasn't been talking to you for 4 days. Right? So we pass. Maybe your Valentine's is this week, all right? You can celebrate this afternoon. But we celebrated that, all right? And we talk about relationships, and then we kick off the small groups in March. And you heard that on March 11th, we're kicking off our small groups this time around. And we give you a chance to begin connecting and forming those relationships. But I want to go in a different direction this time around, all right? I want to go a little bit differently. And that is, instead of telling you for 3 weeks straight that you need to be in a group and you need to join a group, and you do need to join a group, you do need to be in one, I want to instead start this Sunday with you beginning to see yourself in a different light, and maybe see your own potential in a different light. And maybe this, right before this meeting after church today, maybe you begin to see, some of you that haven't led a group, begin to see your potential to lead one. And so as I got into that, though, as I got into the idea that I thought, I want to take it even further, a step back, and not so much in a church setting, but maybe in an individual one-on-one basis. Because there's a next step in your Christianity that I think a lot of you maybe haven't taken yet. There's another step, and that is instead of being ministered to, you begin to minister to others. There's another step that you're supposed to take. It's a growth. Christianity is a path that we take. And so you're growing. You're growing along the journey. And so this is the step that I really want to encourage you this morning. See yourself in a different light as a leader, as someone who ministers. Because there's so many aspects of church that are to equip you and they are to encourage you and they are to just minister to you. But that's not where it ends. And God is calling each of you to reach out and to minister to others. That you've been called in your life in a different way. And I want to start in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "You are the world's light. You are the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see." And I want to get this kind of down in your spirit this morning, because we're going to come back to this idea, all right, that you are the world's light, because there is a lot of darkness out there. And I don't have to give you the cliche of watch the news. Watch the news. If you want to know, there is darkness upon darkness out there. And it says, but you are the world's light. Every time I say you this morning, I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm not talking to the person you met on the street this week. I'm talking to you. All right. You are the world's light. There's a lot of darkness. There's bad upon bad. But what is the answer? It's right here. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. What is the answer? You are the world's light. It says, don't hide your light, let it shine. Some of you grew up in VBS, right? You know this song, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't pretend like you don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to, you need, all right, no, you people, you know this song, all right? Let it shine for all your good. Some of you are hiding it under a bushel. Let your light shine. And then there's this word here. It says, they, let it shine, let your good deeds glow. And then these two, so that. And we're going to come across these two words in a lot of different verses today, a lot of different places. And so I just want you to mark it when you see it. I'll try to point it out when we come across it, all right? So that, and that's saying that God has made you a certain way for a reason. So that. So if you won't let your faith be private, if you'll let your light shine so that in order to, that they will praise, and they is talking about the world, they will praise your heavenly Father. They will praise it, those, so that if they see your light, they will praise your heavenly Father, because they'll see how your light shines. And I want to teach you today something that's one of the key tenets, or one of the things we believe so strongly here at Victory. And that is, we believe that the church does not exist for the church. The church does not exist for us. So if you've been with us maybe a couple of months, or you've been kind of visiting, kind of kicking the tires, seeing if this is the church you want to go to, maybe this message will help you decide if this is the church. If you want something where you just come every Sunday and you sit in your seat and you kind of check that spiritual box and get the kind of kumbaya, warm fuzzies, and you say, well, that was really good. I really like that. I'm going to be back next Sunday. I'm going to enjoy. If that's what you want continually, then you have found the wrong church. All right. I hope that happens for you. I hope it begins that way, that you enjoy Sundays and you want to be here with us. And it's just an awesome time. But that's not where it ends, because God has so much more for you. That's just the beginning. God has so much for you to do and to accomplish for his kingdom. God wants to use you. So we don't think that the church exists for us. We believe that we are the church and we exist for the world. We exist for others. And I need you to get that this morning, because studies have shown more than 80% of the church doesn't believe that. I was listening to a sermon podcast this week. I listen to sermons from around the country, different cities and around the world. I just put them on. I kind of listen. And sometimes I forward, and sometimes I skip around to the good parts. And, you know, but I enjoy listening. And I heard a quote from a pastor this week. And he said it something like this. He said, well, we don't believe that our church ought to grow. And I just thought, well, bummer for the lost people in your city. That's just, I mean, all those people, you know, dying and going to hell, it's a real bummer for them. That just really stinks. That stinks for them. And the whole quote went something like, we don't believe we ought to go. We just believe that we're just here just to worship God and just give glory to God and just to love on God. If you want to love on God, you have to love the ones that he loves. And God loves the world. You want to love, if you're not beginning to love until you love the ones he loves. And God loves people. God loves the world. The church is not for the church. The church is not for us. We are the church and we are for the world. And so I have a verse that I want to be more than just a verse this morning. I wanted to read it, and I want it just to get inside of you, get inside of us as a church. It's in Isaiah 60. And it's a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. It's speaking, he's quoting God, what God is saying. And he says, arise, get up, do something, shine. And he's talking to us as a church. Arise, get up, do something, shine. God wants to anoint you, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord, the word here is the kabod, the full weight of glory of God is on you. It's not on the preacher man. It's not on the man of God. It's on you. The full weight of God is on you. Shine, for your light has come and the glory of God rises upon you. God wants you to know that he wants to anoint you. He wants to use you. The weight of God, the glory of God is on you. Your light needs to shine. God wants to see you as part of the solution. Why? Because there is darkness covering the earth. And this verse is another. So that we, why does he want us to shine? Because darkness upon darkness covers the earth. There is chaos in the world right now. It doesn't surprise me. Because everything that the world has counted as wisdom is failing. And so God has put us in the middle of it. And so if you're looking for solutions, that people are looking for it, so that it's over the people, darkness, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you, so that nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. They are looking for a solution. It says you are the answer. God put his church in here to minister to people, to spread his light. And this will be a radical thought for some of you maybe, because if you've been in the church a while, there's this thought that kind of pervades the church that there are two types of people on a Sunday morning. There are those who just come and sit and listen, and they're the congregants. And we come up with these great terms. And then there's this the preacher man, the man of God, that sits like something special happens when you clear that last step of the stage and you step out, when you sit in this cheap chair from Amazon, that this becomes kind of like this pedestal, right? That I now have a direct link to God. That my prayers count more than yours now. It's just this idea, right? That if you sit up here in this, this is neither here nor there, but I was talking something similar to that. I was talking with my boys this week. They're 3 and 5 years old now. And we have Bible theological time before bed, right? That means Legos and Transformers, and we say a verse, and then we pray, and we go to bed. And I was just talking with them, and we're laying in one of their beds, and I was telling them how their prayers count just as much as mommy or daddy's prayers, and they can pray to God too. And I told them, well, maybe your prayers count a little bit more than my prayers, because, you know, Jesus said, don't despise the little ones. Their angels see my Father's face in heaven. And so I told them, maybe your prayers count a little bit more. And I was talking, and I said, okay, now your turn. You can pray. And the younger one, Liam, whose car is up here, he closed his eyes like this, and he put his hands, and he said, dear God, let me see big golden angel. And I thought, okay, that's a good prayer, good prayer. I'm like the Family Feud contestant, right? Like anything they say, good prayer, good answer, that's great. And I'm thinking, so I turn over to, and we're laying in the bed, I turn over to Elijah, my older one, and I was like, all right, Elijah, you can pray now. And he's just laying there looking at the ceiling, just big eyes. And he just kind of shakes his head like that. And I did what most parents do, and I completely misread the situation. And I was like, no, you can pray, buddy. Do you want to pray? He said, no. I said, no, you can pray the same. You want to see, once you see an angel, you can pray it. And he looked at me and he said, and just big, terrified. And he said, but I don't want to see anything big and glowing in the nighttime. And I thought, okay, I get that. I'm there with you, all right? I need a book that's over like bedtime theology, all right? I need to reform my bedtime theology. But when we get off the set, it just reminded me of, I was telling some people this week, it reminded me of when I was a kid and I learned in Sunday school, about 6 or 7, I learned the story of Eli and Samuel. And you might know the story, right? Where Samuel is a young boy in the temple and Eli is the prophet. And Samuel is just sleeping at night. He hears a voice say, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs to Eli, but it's not Eli calling him. And they do that a couple of times. And he runs to Eli. And finally, Eli realizes it's the voice of God. He tells him, you know, if you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And I don't know how you were taught it. All right, but I was 6 or 7 in Sunday school, and they taught it this way. So if you ever hear God say your name, you just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And just pick, I'm 6 or 7 years old, all right? So then they told you, you know, if God ever says your name in the nighttime, you just say, speak, Lord. And then they turn off the light, good night, you know, and close the door. And I'm laying in my bed thinking, oh, Lord, do not. Do not, do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. Say my name in the darkness. All right, if you want to speak to me, Lord, you do it when the sun is shining and I'm playing with my friends, all right? Do not Lord, do not speak my name in the middle of the darkness. I'm being, you know, one of those kids. Parents going to put the plastic sheets back on the bed. All right. It's do not. I don't. Where? Okay. Where are we this morning? I lost. There is nothing special about me. All right. There is nothing. Your prayers are heard just as much as my prayers. There's nothing special. There's nothing. But we come up with terms. All right. And they come up with terms where they say the congregant, and then they say the clergy. The clergy's up here. We make it this high and mighty, this term, the clergy. And they have special parking at the hospital for the clergy. And there's this big, you know where that word comes from? It's not in the Bible. The clergy, the word's not in the Bible. It's a word for clerk or cleric. It meant the people who could read. And so in the old days, what they would do is the ones who could read, they got the pastor job. And all the rest of people would come and hear them read. But it just stuck. And they kept saying the clergy and the clergy. But there's nothing special about that. There's nothing that keeps God's spirit from rising on you. God wants to use you. God wants to anoint you to reach out to others. God wants to let his spirit rise on you. And that's the first part this morning. We're going to have a full sentence by the end of this. But the first point this morning is you are the minister. You're a minister. Not whatever misconstrued. Maybe you've never heard it in your life. Maybe whatever. But you are just as much a minister, just as much anointed of God. And God can use you just as much, because in 2 Peter it says that you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession to declare the praises of him who called you. You are a chosen people, all right? You are the ministry. You're in the ministry, all right? Congratulations, people. You are a minister. And you say, well, I'm not a minister. You know, I got this other job over here. No, that's because you're confusing the term. You're thinking a minister is maybe somebody who went to seminary for 20 years and then they do this thing full time or they do that. No, the term minister in the Bible is a nursing term. And it means a person who brings aid to the hurting. It's a person who brings aid to the hurting. You are a minister. And God wants his church to arise, to shine. He wants his anointing to be on you because darkness is covering the earth. And it says that in this, you are a priesthood, you are a possession. And here's another one. So that you may declare the praises of him. Darkness is covering the earth. You declare the praises of him who called you out of that darkness into his wonderful light. You are the minister to declare the word of the Lord. And you're not just in the ministry with some broad, you know, kind of highway type. You know, you're in the ministry, it's just this idea. No, you're in it. You're a minister with a specific purpose. You are here with a specific purpose. And the beauty of what God does in the church, and in the verse says he disperses gifts and abilities. He gives gifts and abilities, different ones to different people. And that's the reason I can sit up here and say that not every one of you will do everything that we do as a church. At Victory or as a church in general, the body of Christ, not every one of you will do everything. But you have a gift. You do have an ability, and this will come as a relief maybe to some of you. We don't recruit volunteers here at Victory to do everything, all right? We want you to do what you are passionate about, what you love to do. We want you to do what you're good at. If you're not good at nailing 2x4s together, we don't put you on the outreach team to build a house, all right? We don't want you doing things that you're not good at, but we know that you do have a gifting. And you're never going to be happy until you are doing what it is, until you know what it is. Now, here's the tragedy. According to a study in a seminary done a few years ago, 87% of the church in America doesn't know what that purpose is. 87% of a church just in the States doesn't know what that purpose is. Think about it this way. We are the body of Christ. Think of what your body would look like if 87% of it didn't know what it was. If 87% of your body just didn't know what it was supposed to do. Probably slumped over in a chair, you know, dead somewhere. We are the body of Christ. You want to know why the church doesn't work sometimes? It's because we don't know what our purpose is. I started to have a piece of paper on every chair this morning, but I didn't want to do it that way. But I wanted just to have you write down, just for yourself. We weren't going to shame anybody, have you turn it in or anything like that. Just to write down, what is your purpose in life? Just take a couple of seconds to think about that. What is your purpose? Could you write it in just a couple of minutes? Or would you say, well, I got to go home and think. What is your purpose in life? Why are you here? God wants to anoint you. You are a minister with a specific purpose. And I'm going to give you an illustration. This will mean more maybe to some of you than others. But most of you all know who Elvis Presley was. And Elvis called the king of rock and roll. He died in 77 of a drug overdose and obesity. And he And he was this larger than life figure. He's just famous all over the place, right? He had sold a billion albums and he was in 33 movies. And there are countless, even today, there are so many Elvis impersonators. They're everywhere, right? And someone said there are 30,000 Elvis impersonators in the world today and growing. All right. And if that trend, right, you understand, if that trend holds by the year 2030, we'll all be one, right? If that the numbers, everybody's going to be. You get what I'm saying? There are a lot of them. And you say, well, he must have really loved his life. No. They interviewed his wife, Priscilla Presley, at Reader's Digest. And here's the quote. I want to read it to you. She said, "Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a different reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew it wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage so he wouldn't have to think about it." And I wonder how many of you go on your life stage, you go to school, you go to work, whatever it is, but in the back there's this agonizing thought, I was here, or I'm here for something more. Well, you are. You're a minister with a specific purpose. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." You are God's handiwork, created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you know God had something for you to do before he made you? God had a specific purpose for you to accomplish in the world before he made you. What? Aren't you glad God didn't just make you and then say, well, I don't know what we're going to do with him? Aren't you glad that God didn't do it that way? No, he had something for you to do, and then he made you. He had the task. And so what that stands to reason is he made you with the ability to do that thing, because he had the thing, then you. He made you with the gifts and abilities to do it, your purpose, to accomplish it, and then he made you. It's what we do in the third Sunday of the growth track. When we do that every 3 months, we do the third Sunday, and it's all about finding out your purpose, your skills, your giftings in the body of Christ. And we'd love to have you join that one, this next one. If you've done it before, you haven't done it for a few years, you want to join us in that third week of growth track, just find out what your giftings and callings are, because we believe, and we say this in that third Sunday, that your design reveals your destiny. That who you are, how you were made, reveals what you're going to do. So if you find out about yourself, if you learn yourself, you learn what that is. What that thing is. So if you're agonizing and you're thinking, well, my life's not counting and I'm not doing anything, it's because you haven't learned your purpose yet. You are ministers called by God in the darkest time in human history to bring help and healing to hurting people. And you have a specific role and a purpose. And this next part of this is you do it at an opportune time. One of the healthiest things you can do as a Christian in the body of Christ is to realize that God put you here and now. One of the healthiest things that you can do for your outlook is you put yourself, God put you here and now. One of my greatest, I guess I won't say fears, but one of the things that I guess I fear the most is that getting to heaven and standing before God and God looking at me and saying, what else did you want? Like, look at me and say, well, I put you in America. Not everybody got to live there. I made you funny and handsome and good looking. And you don't have to laugh that hard, all right? You could, but wouldn't you hate to be before God one day and have him say to you, what else did you want? I put you at the greatest time in human history to reach out to hurting people. You have the greatest opportunity that anyone has ever had to reach out to hurting people. And let me tell you something. A lot of us are interpreting the darkness that we see in the wrong way. We're interpreting the things that we see on the news, the things that happen in our life. We're interpreting all these things in the wrong way, because it is not time for the church to shrink back. Because in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all this darkness, God has put us here in this place with the only answer. And so don't whine and cry about hell, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. God has put you in the place that you are, in the time that you are. He's decided for you. We have the answer for this time, this place. So when you're crying and whining about, well, I just can't believe, you know, kids are being brought into it. No, we are being brought into this world for a purpose. This is our time. Jesus talked about generations standing in heaven and answering for the time that they lived in. We will stand and we will answer for the time that God put us. We'll answer for the people that God put around us. You are a minister with a specific purpose in an opportune time. Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5, it says, be very careful then how you live. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It doesn't say shrinking back because the days are evil. It doesn't say holding on till Jesus comes because the days are evil. It says make the most of the time you live in because the days are evil. You live in more evil days, more chance to spread God's light. There's more darkness in the world, bigger chance to spread out the light that's in you. God wants to anoint you. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The anointing is on you. You are a minister. Acts 17:26, if you want to read a little more for you, it says that God determined the exact time and place that you would live. God determined the exact time and the place that you would live. That is the most encouraging thought that I can think of, that God put you here for a reason, made you for a specific purpose, and then placed you in this place. So the question is why? Why do we have this? So it's the final thing. All right, you're a minister with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. Like I'm not just here to do good. Let me make a statement. Maybe it'll shock you. Not all good deeds are the same. Because you can feed the whole world, and if they all go to hell, you lose. All right, not all. We are here to do good in Jesus' name. We are here to do good in Jesus' name. That is to populate heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, if what you do, if your work, at the end, at the judgment, your work will be shown for what it is, what you do in this world. And so it says that in the day, we'll bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire. It'll pass through. And if what you do, if it survives, if it shows up in heaven, then you'll have an eternal reward. If it shows up, you'll have it. And so what I'm saying this to you for a reason is that you begin to redirect your aim and everything that you do towards an eternal reward, towards eternal value. Yeah, we want to change the world, but in Jesus' name. A lot of you have heard us talk about Operation 2020, our one of the ministries out of this church, where we bring adjustable eyeglasses to third world countries. And it's through your generosity now that we've reached 7 countries, and more than 5,000 people in the world have clear sight now, thanks to you guys. Thanks to you guys giving and you guys going and you guys serving. But if that's all we did, then we missed it. That's the only thing we do. But let me tell you what redirecting your aim looks like. Because every pair of glasses, every mission trip, everything that we did was just opening a door for the spreading of the gospel. Because eyes opening in the natural is nothing compared to eyes opening in the spiritual to the love of God. We are called to do things with eternal value. Yeah, we want to change the world, but we want to change it in Jesus' name. If what you do shows up, if it goes through the fire and it shows up in heaven. So let's put it all together. I want to read the whole sentence. You are a minister. You, with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. A lot of you were amen in each point, right? You were amen as we went, and then you kind of stopped and we saw the whole thing together, right? Because you're kind of saying, well, okay, that's great. That sounds really nice. But this is so far from who I am. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you are in your life, all right? This is the end goal. This is where God wants to bring you. I don't care where you are in your life story. This is where God wants you. Let me say it this way. There's a reason that we have the small groups and the outreaches and everything that we do, the growth track, everything we do here at Victory. There's a reason that we do it all. And that reason is not to just provide you somewhere to come to church on Sunday morning. It can't be. It can't be when there is darkness on darkness covering the face of the earth. That just can't be just the reason. It can't be when our God is saying, arise, shine, let your light shine forth. That can't just be the reason. I can't do that. I can't just get up here and preach every Sunday just to give you a comfortable place to come and hear when all of this is going on, when we have the only answer, when we can speak into the darkness and be light. I have to do something else, and I need you too as well, because one person can't change the world. But the church that God has anointed and God has placed in this time and this reason. And it can only happen if you see yourself as a minister with a specific purpose in this time for a reason. And you're working for things with an eternal value. All right, so the question becomes, and we're going to end up this morning. The question then becomes, fine, I get that. Well, then how? How do I do it? How do I get from where I am to this? And the first step begins with your relationship with God. I won't shortchange that at all. You can't help other people until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The first step starts with that. The second step starts with finding your purpose. After you have made your decision with Jesus, and you have made yourself right with God, then you begin to minister to others. You find your purpose. Find out what you're good at and you use it for the kingdom. And I have just three ways for you this morning that you can find your purpose. You can find what your ministry is. All right, and the first one is in your gifts and your passions. In other words, start finding the thing that fires you up and start using it for eternal value. In fact, let us show you how you could use it for ministry. I promise you this, you have a gift. Some of you kind of chewed me out when I said that part that you don't know. I promise you have something that when you do it, you're good at it. There is something. And not only that, but when you do it, people's lives could be changed. That you could use something. Every person in here, you have something. You have a gift. Romans 12:6. And it says it this way. We have different gifts according to the grace. And the word there for grace, it says according to the charis. The word is there. It's where we get our word charismatic. Some of you think a charismatic is a crazy person in church. But no, this is the word. It is something we believe here at Victory. This word around you have a grace on your charis. It's a divine gift that God places on people. We believe that. That God has placed that gift on you. You have a grace given to each of us. And it goes on to say it like this. If you have the gift of prophecy, then use it. If you have these different gifts, if it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Whatever it is. If it's to encourage, then grab a door on a Sunday morning. Let your face be the first one people see when they come to church on a Sunday. Whatever the gift is, use it. If it's giving, then give generously. To lead, then lead. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You have these gifts. If whatever it is, let me sum up this verse for you. Find what your thing is and do it. All right, you want this verse? The message kind of shortens it. Sometimes I'm going to shorten it even further. Find what your thing is and do it. Do it. It's what we do in the third step, like I said, in the growth track. We don't just find you a place and then say, okay, we just serve that. We hope you grow into it. No, we will try to find the way that you're wired. What your passions are. You like to work with kids. We have the kids on for you. You like to work with technology. We do the tech booth and the media stuff. You like to do different things. We want to know what you're wired for, what you love to do. Find your gifts and your passions. And the second way you find your ministry, and you find it in your life experience. In other words, there's something that life has taught you that you need to teach to others. Life has taught you something, some experience that you need to teach to others. My favorite small groups, some of them have been the ones where people simply taught others what they were good at. Somebody passed on. And I want you to get creative. I don't want you to get stuck in this kind of box where you think, well, only groups that can be led are Bible studies. I love Bible studies and we need a lot of them. But I want you to do what you're good at. We've had so many different types of small groups. We've had photography and basketball and painting and coffee groups. Somebody say amen. We've had so many different things. I want you to do what you're good. Our worship leader, Nick, he's going to lead us running small group. All right. In this Nick, why is he going to lead a running small? Because he's good at running. I don't run. All right. I showed him the verse this past week in Proverbs. It says only the wicked flee when no one pursues. Right. And I don't think it did a lot of good. He's still going to lead a running small group because he's good at running. I don't run. All right. You know the old joke, right? How do you know if somebody's run a marathon? Don't worry. They'll tell you. Right. If they put it on everything, right? They stick it on their car. I got 0.0, right? I don't run. All right. That's what I don't. But some of you are saying, I like to run. I want to stay in shape. Some of you are saying round is a shape, right? Some of you are in shape. Some of you are a shape, right? All right. So, but you do what you are good at. We're going to move on here. Here's what you do. All right. It is our verse in Romans 12. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating. Not your high and mighty spiritual things, all right? Take your everyday, ordinary life, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Use what you're good at, what you do in your everyday life, and place it before God as an offering. You say, God can use my running? Yeah. God can use what I'm good at? You better believe it. God can use you. So let me tell you what I want you to do. March 11, it kicks off our small groups. But today, in just a few minutes, in here, in the sanctuary, we're going to have our meeting for potential small group leaders. And you don't have to have the details hashed out. You don't need a title. You don't need anything. I just want you to come and just find out how you can use what you're good at as ministry. This is not, we're not going to pressure you into anything. We just want you to come and find out how you can use what you're good at as ministry. And I'll say it this way. Don't stop what you're doing to come and do what the church is doing. We want you to continue what you're doing, what you love, how you're wired, what you love to do. And we just want to help you turn it into ministry. And if every single one of you stayed afterwards for this meeting, how awesome would that be? That we just want to turn your passions and your giftings and your life experiences into ministry. We want to help you take that next step. And there's a final place, and we're going to close with this one. God wants to use your gifts and your passions. He wants to use your life experiences. And then in 2 Corinthians, it says, all praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another place you find your ministry. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. It says, then he comforts us in all our troubles so that, we're back to those two words, so that he comforts us, but not just to comfort us. And I hope that doesn't disappoint you, but God doesn't just meet your need just to meet your need. He comforts us, and here's the other so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. In other words, I think some of you, you discount yourselves. You say, well, you don't know the darkness. You don't know the pain. You don't know the thing that I came out of, the things that are in my past. Perfect. I hate that it happened. But there are a lot of people that are going through it right now that would rather hear from you than me. Or you say, well, you don't know. I was addicted to drugs and I was in that. Perfect. I hate that it happened. But there are a lot of people who are addicted right now who would rather talk to you than me. God comforted you. God delivered you. God brought you out of that darkness so that you would give the same comfort to others. God wants to take what you've been through and he wants to turn it into ministry. And I want you to quit disqualifying yourself because of your life's resume. Your resume doesn't disqualify you. Your resume qualifies you. You want to know what qualifies you for this type of ministry? Your resume does. What you've been through. Because you can find your ministry in your pain. God has a purpose for your pain. God wants to use you. He comforted you and now he wants to use you to comfort others. There is a purpose in your pain. Bow your heads with me this morning. I just want to pray. God, I pray, Lord, with all urgency, Father, that the church would arise. God, that we would begin to shine. God, let ministry rise up in every person that heard my voice this morning, Lord. Every person that can hear me right now, Lord, whether here or online, wherever it is, God, let ministry rise up. God, I pray that you would help us realize that we are the ministers with a specific purpose, God, that you've made us for this time and this place. Lord, that the gifts of God be stirred inside of us. God, I ask you, Father, I ask you, Lord, begin to use us. God, the church, it is your hope for the world, Father, the church on the move, the church working, the church reaching out. I pray over every person, Lord. God, as we move into this season of groups, as we move into this season of outreach, God, that you begin to talk to every heart, Lord. We begin to see ourselves as ministers. Begin to use the gifts and passions that you made us with as ministry for an eternal value. One more thing this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you haven't taken that first step, if you're far from God this morning, let me say this way, you know that things aren't right. You know it. I'm not asking you to fool anybody sitting next to you. I'm not asking you anything like that. You know it in your own heart that things aren't right. You know you've got to get some things right with God. And you're so far from him and you feel your guilt and your shame. You feel it. And you know you want to get right with God. It starts there. That's the first step, the most important step. And I'm not going to have you come down to the altar. I'm not going to have you stand up, nothing like that. But if you say, you're saying, hey, pray for me. I have to get things right with God. I've got to give him my life. If you're ready for that, if you want to be saved, if you say, I'm so far from him, if you say that though in your heart, you say, I want to get back to God. I want to give my life to God. If you want to be included in that prayer, you say, hey, include me. If you say, I want to be right with God, no hesitation, just put your hand up right now. Every head bowed, we're not going to shame you if you say that. If you just want to say, I want to get back right with God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If that's you, no hesitation, just slip your hand up. Thank you. 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 We got hands going up, guys. God bless you. All right, if that was you, if you slipped your hand up, we're going to pray with you. The whole church is going to pray with you. Those six of you who just lifted your hands. Just pray this prayer in your heart. Forget about everybody around you. This is between you and God. We're going to say it out loud with you. I just want the whole church, let's pray it with them. Just say, Jesus, thank you for paying for what I did. Thank you for going to the cross for my sins. Forgive me. Save me. Say this part. Be my Lord. Today I give you my life. I surrender all. Say this. Come live inside of me. And Jesus, use me to touch the people around me. Today I give you my life. Lord, for everyone who just said that prayer for the first time, God, I celebrate the first step, the greatest step, God. God, I celebrate the step where lives are changed. Lord, I celebrate it, Father. I thank you, God, that they've taken this step. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Church, can we celebrate with the six people who just gave their lives to Jesus? Can we just celebrate with them? Who made the best decision of their life.